That'll be 880. Good morning.
KABCW, good morning.
And this is I'd say good morning. Want to get a cup of coffee? Heading towards the office. How goes it with you?
Well, okay. It's shaping up to be a beautiful day here in northern Michigan.
You must have been busy. So, yeah, I'll be there. In fact, today's one of the days it's actually going to work out pretty good because I have a 10:30 at Violetel. So that'll work out good back here and heard your voice, and I just wanted to let you know about that. I got you. Carry on. WAFU. See you then. Bye.
AABCW monitoring.
I didn't forget about you. Sorry about that. How goes it?
Yeah, no worries. I just haven't been on the MI5 in a while, so seems like I've got some intermittent connection issues through my hotspot. So thanks for shouting back out. Looking like a beautiful day up here in northern Michigan.
Okay, I'll give you a couple quick pointers. Make sure you're on the 3104. When your settings, you have your different choices of 3101, 02, 0304. Central Michigan works the best on 3104 in that setting where you, I guess it's the server setting. I'm not exactly what it's called, but make sure that that's there, and then 31261, those two things. Make sure you got both of those, and that might help you out. If you're already there and you already knew that, I apologize, but I just figured I'd throw in a couple of pointers today. No charge.
Yeah, thanks for the suggestions. I appreciate that. I think actually what I need to do is probably reboot my hotspot and get it synced back up, and maybe that'll help. Otherwise, I think I'm coming in pretty good. I might try the Petoskey repeater here later today and see how that's working for me as well.
Okay. Yeah, that 3104, that's a biggie. So take care. Have a good day. I'm going to go get some coffee.
Have a great day. Good chatting with you. K8BCW.
W8FU. Victor Delta. NWRO, did you make it? Well, shouldn't have taken him that long either.
Yeah, well, he'll be here. Anyhow, yeah, I'm coming to find out the second is just a crazy day for me. That's my grandson's birthday party, too. Now, look, I think that's later in the day, but I'll tell you, it's going to be a fun-packed day for me.
Yeah, I did inform Dave about the opportunity cost there, and I did ask him if he did contact your supervisor, and he said, well, I thought it was kind of assumed, and I said, no, you probably should contact him. So he said he was going to do that today. So just to, you know, make sure everything is, you know, dotted and crossed.
NAWRO, I'm in here too now, guys. Go ahead, Sean.
Hello, Tim Tron. So, yeah, mostly because somebody has to be, you know, somebody has to be there, you know, as the doorkeeper, right? And he may want to, you know, get Sarah some scheduled overtime on that, you know, so he'll say, oh, well, Sarah, you know, open a place up for you. And if he wants me to be involved in that, I can, because I've already cleared it with the powers that be in that issue that's going to be going on that day. He may not realize that they'll be perfectly fine. So I don't know if he wants me, if you talk to him, see if he wants me to kind of help orchestrate that.
Yeah, I hadn't told Tim about the change order. We were on the phone. I did tell Dave about that. So, and that's why I suggested to Dave to, you know, cross his T's, dot his I's. So I'll call Tim back on the phone and give him the skinny about what's different. So he's not going to be there that day, but he's still number four. He still should know what's different. So we'll make it work out. But yeah, thanks for everything. And then as far as next Thursday's net goes, you know, that would be a great test, you know, to see if it's going to work. And we were going to make sure that John did the master in charge controller. What's it called, Tim? That guy.
Net control. As net manager, he'll be net control. Maybe Mike can do the second. And yeah, that sounds good. Sean, I like that. concept of joining the two there.
Yeah, well, it was suggested to me, and I said, perfect, yeah, sure. So I just got to, obviously, there's a little bit of finagling that has to be done. We've got to drop links to Central Michigan and then create the links for the net. There's some of it I can automate, but, there's some of it I can't. So I want to, much like we have that way for you to get in there. Tim, what I ought to do is we ought to see if we can't get you a login to the Allmon on both systems. That way you could do it via computer. So I got to look into that. I got to see if they have. In fact, if I get AllScan working on the two systems, I think AllScan allows individual users, does it not, Walter?
Unlimited individual users, and you can also control what they can do and what they can't do. You can set different permission levels. So somebody like Tim, you could give full permission, and somebody else, you could just give, okay, this is all you can do. So yes, it is. It's fantastic for that. The only hiccup, I believe, to it is you're going to have the newest version of whatever the hell it's called, AllScan, AllStar, whatever they call it, whatever. You have to have the newest version of that to make this work. And I think that, because I think they depreciated the older version of it.
Okay, sounds good to me. I'd be up for that, Sean.
Yeah, I'd like to get you like a control op, kind of like status on both hubs or both, both systems. And then a few other guys as well, particularly people that, have net control responsibilities and things like that, so they can drop things and link things. So AllScan seems like a really good tool for that. But I know some versions of Supermon have varying levels of login. And so I know I did it there once on the FBI back in the day. But I'm already running... we're already running three over at on the Mecca, so should be no problem for me to get AllScan running there. So that could be our test bed. And then I'm planning on upgrading the FBI network to ASL3, and then it's just too much. It's a pain in the rump to do it on AllStar 2, and I just don't have the time or patience to do it. So I got to upgrade that one to ASL3. I just assume upgrade that one to ASL3. And at that point, I'm going to relocate it to the local area here so that, we don't have the long-distance, concerns, just range entire hub. So I'd like to get it down here at probably at the Warren site. So I should probably start working on that, get an AllStar 3-link box going and get it all set up and everything. And then once we do that, I could let you get in there and do all sorts of, tomfoolery and break things.
Yeah, ASL3 is the way to go because, you don't mess with the top part of the template. You only mess with the bottom part of the template. And if you totally FUBAR it, you just go ahead and there's a setting right in there that just says reset to normal. And then you just tell it to recover, and it goes right back to where it was working. And I love that feature because I do so many different things. And, AllStar, sometimes when you give it something and there's a little bitty thing there that changes, it just screws everything up. But three, oh, my gosh, you just say reset and then recover, and it takes you right back to where you were flawlessly. Reset, recover, reboot. I mean, amazing. That's just it is the cat's meow. All right, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, sounds good. I would guess myself, Dave, and John H. at minimum, and whoever else you want in there, John.
Yeah, well, AllScan is real nice because it's very intuitive. And Wally just turned me on to that. It's very intuitive. It runs really nicely on both phones. And, the problem is we might have to get you zero-tier accounts for your device. That you're going to control it with, so you can get on the 44 net. Maybe I don't know for sure if we're going to have to do that, but that's not a problem. Anyhow, So that's something I'll try to put in motion here. Yeah, I'll put it on the pile, and we'll see if it rises above, it'll be down there about 20 in the pot, and see if we can get it up into the area where it tickles my brain cells and I remember.
Hey, Sean, as far as the 44 neck goes, WireGuard, we could just get him a WireGuard account. He can get himself a WireGuard account. Just apply for a 44 neck thing, and it says WireGuard, and then you just open up WireGuard and you VPN into the 44 net, and then you can get into all the .44 stuff that Sean has everything hidden behind. And because I can look at all his stuff that way. I don't have the passwords, but I just go into the WireGuard, and then I'm on a VPN, and then that part of it, Sean, would be real easy. Go ahead, Tim.
All right, whatever you guys suggest, I'll just pass it on to Sean.
Yeah, but I mean, why would we bring that in? That would be bringing just another piece in. We're already running zero tier all over the net, and I don't know if there's, you got to get on the MI6 network, and he may have things clamped down, and zero tier maybe, we may have to. So I just don't know why would we bring in yet another piece of software when we already have one established.
That I don't know. I mean, that's just another way into the 44 net. We'll just see what Freddie thinks is the best. I mean, that's what I would suggest.
It's already been established. So like I said, I don't know why we're looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. We've got zero tier. We all run that, and it's transparent. You don't have to log in or do nothing. It runs on the background on your device. And if you do 44 stuff, it automatically finds that network and does it. And if it doesn't, if you're doing regular stuff, it goes out that port. So I love it. I got it on most of my stuff, and it works flawlessly. Now, I don't know, if there's, there are certain things you can do on the 44 net, but there's certain things you can't. And, oh, for God's sakes, did I miss my, I did, I missed my damn turn. Anyhow, there's certain things you can do, and then there's certain things you can't. And, so you may be able to go in and look around, but you may not be able to, like, SSH.
Either way, we can make it work. Okay, Mr. Tim, looks like you're going to get more buttons.
Yeah, it works for me. I'm happy to do it. Got the time, at least.
I should make the time. One breath, I want to retire. The next breath, this is just so freaking easy, and I make so much freaking money. It just, I'm not bragging. It took my entire life to get here, and now that I'm here, I don't want to give it up.
That's kind of like me. It's like right now I should be retiring, but right now, I mean, I like what I do. I like who I do it for. I run the show. It's like, why would I retire?
Yeah, same thing with me. And I'm unfireable and untouchable. I mean, it's just like, okay, So, whatever, it's like, what do we do? Like I said, my best buddy over there in Pawpaw, he was vice president of the hospital, and it got to him, like most of those high-end positions do. He's my age. It got to him, so he leaves that position. Of course, he walks away at the Golden Parachute and all that other fun stuff. So then he goes and works for a mechanical contracting company as a hospital consultant for all of their ventilation systems and makeup units and all the other stuff that they do in the hospitals. He gets tired of that, and the stress got to him. And, of course, it was a union company, so that added to the stress, and he wasn't used to that. So he resigned from that. And last I saw, he was in Florida. And I'm going, okay, you're a couple years younger than me, and you're in Florida. So that crosses your mind, too. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, it would, Wally. It definitely would. So, Sean, I haven't been over there in a while. How's the new building taking shape? It's going to be better in that new building.
Oh, yeah. It'll be better in the new one. it's amazing. It's just, just going up like lickety split. I guess it's on schedule. It's on budget. All that good stuff. I have not been through it. They did a little dog and pony show with Channel 7 recently. I did not see what that amounted to or what that resulted in, but they took him inside, I think, to some degree. But, yeah, it seems like it's cruising right along. But, anywho, where am I at here? Where is my destination? Okay, I'm still down the road here a little bit. I don't know why. I completely blew past my turn. And I went a half mile south of where I was supposed to be. I had to double back and cut through a sub, and now I'm back on track. So the guys are probably, they were alongside me in another vehicle. They're probably wondering, what in the hell's up with him? He's losing it.
I had a big accident over here in Baltimore this morning, I saw. County line was closed for a little bit. I don't know what it was. I just took while I heard all the trucks and the ambulances and everything else. Is Dave working today, Ken, you know?
Stand by and let me check my phone. I think not. I'm going to say no, he's not. And then, Sean, you go ahead. If so, I'll let you know. But no, I think he's off.
All right, and I've reached my destination, so I'm going to get parked here and get inside and figure out what's going on. We'll talk to everyone in a little bit. WDFU.
I am going to call Tim on the phone, update him on the secret scroll message, and go into the office and act like I'm doing something, and then leave the office at about 9:45. So I'll be mobile then. Talk to you guys later. W8 meeting.
I confirm, Dave is starting his 4-day off, so he's not working today for the next 4. N-A-W-R-O. Have a good one, guys.
Mobile, statewide one.
This is
K-8. Mobile, statewide one.
WABD is mobile.
Serving the community.
That's what you get paid the big bucks for.
Oh, I was just reading the side of the Roseville Department of Public Service truck that was blowing leaves or something over here. Serving the community. Well, there you go.
You need a mission statement at your office.
If it's broken, we fix it.
We fix it for free.
Oh, nothing's for free.
It'd be a great mission statement.
Yeah, it would, but, I mean, there's things we do that's covered, but I wouldn't call it free. Anyhow, another fire station remodeling includes all the alerting stuff, has to get the installed sound system, radios and all that stuff, has to get moved from where it's at to where it's got to be in the interim while they're remodeling, and then back into the new remodeled stuff and new speakers and TA systems and all that stuff. We've got to coordinate with all these contractors and all to put in our alerting equipment.
Is this a remodel or a brand new station?
It's kind of a remodel of an existing, but there's a new part in the back that used to be like a conference room, and they converted that over to dorms, and then the old part's getting all remodeled, so it's basically a remodel. They did their other station last year before maybe, and now they're doing their main station, so I got 1, 2, 3 station constructions or remodels going on currently. Might be more than that. Not sure. I lose track.
Well, at least they're putting good resources to something that's needed. That's a promising thing. So, hope it goes well. What gives us, or is it still secret squirrel stuff?
Oh, no, nothing secret about this. Roseville Fire, their Station 1.
you know, they did their station two down on Fraser, like I said, a year or two ago. And it's real nice, and, you know, it's really modernized it and all that stuff. And then now they got to bring it to the, it was probably late 50s, early 60s construction. And, you know, everything had that late 50s, early 60s kind of look and feel, and they're going to spruce it all up. The back half's done, so we're moving into phase two, where they move out of the front half to the back half, live there for a while they're reconstructing the front half. So that was today's meeting, the interim, how we're going to keep everything running in the interim.
Isn't that committee also getting a new DPW garage or something like that? I thought that was something that my son was working on with them. But one of those committees that way is getting a new DPW.
I don't know. I rarely get called into things like that when it, you know, for DPWs. It's mostly fire, police and fire stations. So I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's usually some co-coordinated projects where, you know, well, what are we getting? Everybody else is getting new. How about us?
Yeah, that could be that. I don't know. He's out of town. I'll ask him, but I could swear it was Roseville. Almost positive it was that, but I might be wrong. That's good. Good for the community, good for the people, good for the townsfolk, city folk, you know.
That's how it goes.
So, looks like our pretty blue sky is going away. I just saw a thing on the weather, chance of thunderstorms this evening. They didn't say severe or anything like that, but they did say chance of thunderstorms. So, and it's starting to cloud up, so I think they might be right.
Just driving by the dealer I bought my escape from, it's got me thinking, if you were in the market for a new car right now, personal, what would you be looking at?
I'll be right back. I've got a phone call. Let me be.
W8FU.
Come on, that's easy. You want to get a police Inceptor.
Wouldn't crush me dead and something like that. Anyhow. I like my Escape. I just would like something a little bit more thump when it goes over a bump. Mine's it's a little noisy. So, you know, I don't know. Do I just move up to the edge? I don't even know if they still make that. But I got to be careful because I can't go too big because then Andrea has trouble getting in and out and I'll live with that grief. So I got to, you know, my Escape's almost perfect. If it was just a little more sound than that. And I got just about the most deluxe one you can get. So, you know, it's not like they get any quieter.
Yeah, do you have a sports suspension on yours? I think it's when you have the sports suspension, it makes it a little bit more like you're hugging the road and, you know, you're feeling the road, where some of the newer ones, for example, on my Trailblazer, they had an RS model, which is like their top of the line, right? And I'm like, what's the difference? I'm like, oh, it's more sports, you know, so it's like you'll feel the road more. And I didn't like it. I actually wanted to go, I just went down to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a couch on wheels, right? Old school. But, no, I got the SEL, so there's nothing sport about it. You know, it's just they got the Escape, and they got the SE, and then they got the SEL. And I think you can get the titanium above that, but that's more about electronics than it is anything. It's just the nature of the beast, the door, you know, the car, to keep the weight down, they got a lot less of that, you know, sound deadening material, and it seems rattly and noisy. There's cabin noise when you're at speed. That annoys the hell out of me. You know, like my Chrysler 300 that I had was just quiet when it, and that was a sports model, it was a 300S, but and it did have more road feel. It definitely had more of that. I don't mind that. I just don't like that noise. I want a quiet cabin, and you know, at speed. So that's the big thing. I want Lance, who does his job well.
Oh, does Lance work in that type of stuff where he keeps the cars quiet, the foam insulation stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's kind of what he does for Chrysler. So. The insulation for the all around the doors and windows and everything like that. So,
I don't know. I kind of half know stuff like that. No, I do. But yeah, I was thinking about taking a Cadillac CT5 for a ride, see how that works, because I could get a certified pre-owned one coming off lease and get it reasonable, see if it really has that bed and thump, kind of sound. I don't know, What else is there? What big sedan is there anymore? I could do an SUV, but, as they start to get bigger, they start to get taller, and that's the thing, the other thing I got to watch, so.
Yep, first world problems. I guess, Chevrolet is, the average person, right? And then, if you want the luxury stuff, go to Buick. So I'm wondering if they have something like that. And does Ford has something like that, right? They won their Lincolns and stuff like that.
I've not really seen anything. They used to have Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. And Mercury was that in-betweener. Now it's just Ford and Lincoln. And I haven't seen anything from Lincoln that impresses me at all. I'm just not interested. They may very well be decent cars, but just not interested. And in the Ford lineup, up from this was the Edge. I could probably do that, but I think they discontinued the Edge. And everybody's getting out of sedans. You got to move up to get into a sedan. I don't think Buick's got a sedan anymore. You got to get a Cadillac in the GM ecosystem to get a sedan. I think you can still get a Charger from Chrysler. I'm not 100% sure on that. And those can be, but that's Dodge. And, the Chryslers were always a little bit more, Chrysler was kind of that same as that Buick. The Chryslers were always a little bit more, luxurious, or they would have the quieter cabins generally. And Dodge was sporty, and all that. So my Chrysler 300 was probably one of the nicest sedans we've ever owned. I liked that car a lot, but they stopped making them. So I got the little SUV, and it was I got a bigger SUV, I should say. And my wife hated that. That wasn't bad, the Jeep Grand Cherokee. That wasn't terrible, but she couldn't stand getting in and out of it. So I went down to the Escape, and I love it in every way except for it's just noisy. Maybe I should just take it in somewhere and have them put Acoustimat all over the damn thing, quiet it down.
Yeah, I don't know. Is the reason why there's no sedans anymore in the big three is because they seceded over to the Asian market. Like, Toyotas, I think, have sedans and stuff, and they're made in the U.S. They have factories down in, Illinois, or with Indiana and stuff. So, those are options, too, I guess. I mean, nothing's truly American-made anymore anyways, unless you get maybe a pickup truck.
Nah, my wife won't have it. I mean, I suppose if I just did it and said, there, that's what we got, and if she liked it, I suppose she might convert, but she'd give me grief, and I really don't want to, want a foreign car. I get it. I understand Goldwings. Goldwings made dogs. I see. It's great. So that means buying the gold because it's where the corporation is that matters, in my opinion. But I could be totally wrong in that, and I'm not debating it. I just like domestics and the story. Now, if I found a Spitfire, that's different. But
it's sold by GM, so I'm not even sure what to think about that one. But I really like it. I love my Trailblazer. I mean, as far as, it's a zippy car. When I get into my wife's car, which has got a V6, of course it's not as zippy compared to that. But it's light, and it gets where it wants to go.
Well, I wonder, all these ratings when people are looking at cars and all that stuff, I've never seen that. Does anybody rate them on just cabin quietness? To me, that's a real important thing. Because it's just fatiguing, when you're ripping along at 70, 80 miles an hour on the freeway and it's like you got to turn the radio up really loud or it's just annoying as hell. I like a quiet cabin. Hey, they fixed the road by my work. I don't jar my teeth every time I go over it now. Yay.
Hey, while you're here, I know Dakota was setting up a list of people going to lunch. Is he still doing that?
You know, I don't know, but what I know so far is myself, Anthony, Dakota, Wally, Greg. I thought you were let me know, so I would say you. I don't know if Paul from my shop's going to want to go or not. I'm going to ask him here in a minute. And I don't know if I'm missing anybody. I think that was pretty much it. Dakota and Anthony and myself and Wally, we all have equipment we've got to exchange, so I'm sure them and I think Greg's got some equipment to exchange with somebody. It's like it's a big handoff.
That cracks me up. Well, I guess where are you guys meeting? Unless you don't want to stay here, I'll go ping Dakota.
Are you kidding me? All day yesterday, and he's doing it all day today. Some rickety old pickup truck one of the building contractors uses.
Was the tool noise?
I don't know, man. Just the alarm's been going off, seems like, all day yesterday. No, it's doing it all day today. What a pain in the ass. All right, I just pulled up at the shop. You asked me a question. Anyhow, it's at noon at National. Is it Tilts or Hayes, the National right there, 59? I'm sure you could find it. It's the National on 59, like Hayes-ish. I forget what it's out in front of, but that's where it's going to be. Noon 15 is what I heard. All right, I'm going to jump out after yours. WFU.
All right, Dakota's answering me. He's saying it's somewhere at Hall and Shaner. So I'll figure it out. Hey, FA, that's clear. Hey, DCW.
Did Wally get back? Dave, are you talking to Dakota about headcount?
Well, not headcount, just where it's at. I don't see a National Coney Island at Shaner and Hall. I'm thinking he means Hayes and Hall. I want to get confirmation about that.
Yeah, we determined it was Hayes. He's probably just, I think we were all just bounced around. Was it Tilts? Was it Shaner? Was it Hayes? And I think we all settled on, no, I think it's Hayes. But it's the one that's right there. You know, Hayes and Shaner. There wouldn't be one at Shaner. So it's definitely the one at Hayes.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there used to be one in the mall, which is closed, obviously. I'm wondering when they're going to tear it down, but yeah. All right, yep, Hayes and Hall. Got it.
K8DCW testing.
K8DCW, this is N6WI, also testing on Statewide 1. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning. I hear you just fine, David.
Okay, Bentley. I hooked up an Anytone mic to my 890, and the speaker on the Anytone speaker mic has very good audio quality. I just wonder how I'm sounding using the microphone, the speaker microphone, rather than the internal microphone on the 890.
Well, you sound just fine to me. You want to unplug it and try it through the internal microphone and see if I can tell the difference?
Okay, right now this is the speaker mic. I'm going to count to five. One, two, three, four, five. Now I'm going to unplug it. Just stand by. This is the internal mic on the radio. One, two, three, four, five. Can you tell the difference?
Yeah, I would say your speaker mic is a little bit clearer. You sound slightly muffled on the internal mic, but, I mean, they're both excellent quality, so I wouldn't hesitate to use that speaker mic and be confident that it works great.
Well, that's interesting. I'm still on the internal mic. I'm going to have to check the parrot on Grandmeister. I'm having a time with the 90, though, connecting to the hotspot. My 878, no problem. But this one here, you know, I have to hold it right up to the
the hotspot to make a connection, and I try adjusting the offset. I can make it worse as far as the BER goes, but I can't get better. I don't know if it's a problem with the radio or what, but anyway, it's a long story. The repeater seems to work great with this radio.
I had a similar issue with two different radios on my hotspot. I'm not sure which one you have, but mine's a Pi-Star with an MMDVM hat that I built myself. And the radio hat will not necessarily be zeroed in on the absolute correct frequency that you choose when you set it up. So there is a calibration step that you have to use, which will be different from radio to radio. Good quality radios should be within spec, but I found that the two radios I had, one was so far out of spec that it won't connect to my hotspot, while two others that I routinely connect through my hotspot are just fine with just a small amount of offset. So that might be part of your problem if you have a different radio.
Like I said, the 878, Anytone 878 works great with it. But the 890 will not. And I try the calibration, and it can make it work. Nice thing about the 890, though, and the 878, you can offset for every channel in the radio. And so that comes in handy, I guess, if you're using two different hotspots or whatever. Or in the case that you got multiple radios, only one hotspot, or you do the offset, frequency offset in the radio, and the one that needs it the most gets the most offset.
That's interesting and probably would work better. With my hotspot, you have to actually program the hotspot itself, and then you're kind of stuck with whatever that is. Something else to check, I'm not familiar with the 890, but does it have a different low power option? Got a radio that's got three low power settings from very, very low to a traditional low setting. And there are spots in my house where I can't hit that hot spot on that lowest power setting. So I don't know if you've tried, upping your power to medium or high to see if that helps you get into your hot spot with that radio. And certainly if you have a bunch of different low power settings, maybe choose one that's higher.
Well, I do have that different settings, but since I'm only a few inches from the hotspot, I'm using the very lowest, and it, it helps if I get closer, like 6 inches away, then I can get into it, but I got to play around with it again today. I might screw it up because of... I did a lot of weird things trying to get the NXDN to work on this and downloaded some code plugs that maybe I shouldn't have. So I'm going to do a complete factory reset sometime this week and try it again. Start from scratch and see if I can do any better this time.
Yeah, be aware of going into your radio settings and tinkering to make something else better. You'll probably screw something else up. At least that's been my luck. So, maybe that's the ticket is start from scratch.
That sometime this week. Bentley, I got to get back to my morning routine here, and been good talking to you. It's getting a little cloudy here. I like it might have a local shower or two. Weather predictions, maybe some thunder showers in the area, but it's supposed to rain later today. Otherwise, it's a kind of comfortable day out there.
I have a question.
Stand by. Hey, DCW, David, good to talk. Have a great afternoon, and we'll catch you another time. Go ahead, other station.
I just heard the NXDN talk, and I was curious what radio you're running. Obviously, a Kenwood. I'm just wondering which one is it, an NX or is it a Viking or what?
Anytone 890. I have heard NXDN, but I haven't actually talked on it yet. Sounds pretty good. But maybe later this week after I do the factory reset,
I got an unauthorized code plug in here for NXDN, and hopefully it will work fine on transmit. But I haven't made a contact on NXDN yet with the Anytone 890.
I gotcha. Yeah, I keep forgetting that the 890 introduced NXDN, and I was immediately thinking Kenwood. So, okay, no problem. I appreciate that. Let you guys get back to it. WAFU.
Okay, anytime, Sean. WAFU signed. I'm going to sign this time around, Bentley, and talk to you later. This is N6WY. You're a carrier, but nothing happened. This is N6WY clear.
P8MXG. I'd like to test the hotspot. Any response?
Right there.
AC8MXG clear.
K8RUH.
This is N8DZR.
Hey Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just sitting here paying some bills, giving away all my money.
I hear ya. Paying bills is no fun.
Yeah, I use Quicken. It makes it a little bit easier to do it, but it just seems like I can't keep any of my money. It just comes in and turns around and goes right back out again. I'll say again, you cut out.
Said absolutely, and then you got to pay taxes.
Oh, my God, don't even start with that. Oh, man, that's such a pain in the butt doing taxes. I do my own. Because my wife has her own business, and she won't keep records, so I have to go through, and I've got to, you know, redo all the records for the whole year when I do the taxes. It is a pain in the rear end.
Hi.
Are you at work today?
I am not currently at work. I am on the road at the moment on my way back. I went to lunch. And got to go back for an hour, hour and a half, and then I got a delivery to make, and then I'll be home.
Awesome. Looks like a nice day out there, but by the time you start heading home, there might be rain moving in. I guess there's rain moving in this afternoon.
You know, what's funny is I'm at John R. 15, and it is raining right now. Raining pretty good, actually. Hey, you're over there in Harrison Township. Have you noticed that the lake has come up, or has it stayed the same with all the rain that we've already had this spring? Did I lose you, Brian?
Yeah, I was just saying, do you think there's any way that we could simulcast the meetings when we do the meetings on Thursday night, the next on DMR, because I'm way out in Milford. I can't pick up the analog radio that good, but I could pick up DMR from Novi. And it's just a thought that crossed my mind. Over.
You would probably need somebody with more access and more smarts than me to know the answer to that question.
Yeah, it's just a thought that popped in my head. I'll talk to John about it later.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm pulling back up at the office here, so I will catch up with you later. Have a good day, and hopefully it doesn't rain on us too much. K8RUH.
All right, Anthony 73. Hey, have a good day today and a better day tomorrow. This is NADZR, and we are listening.
K8BCW.
W8NGT testing.
K8BCW.
K8PKP, mobile on statewide one.
K8BCW, good afternoon.
K8BCW, good afternoon from Grand Rapids.
Hello from Harbor Springs. Getting in on my hotspot and had a little trouble with it recently, so I'm testing out to make sure she's working.
Ah, okay. I think we've talked before. The name's Riley, K-E-T-K-P.
Yeah, Riley, name here is Bentley. I think we did talk once before.
If I remember right, the last time we talked, I was headed to Cabela's. And you'll never guess what I'm doing right now while we talk this time.
Golf balls, ammo, and bird dogs. You can never have too many of them.
That's a great line. I might have to steal that from you. So this time I'm not getting ammo. I grabbed a Magpul stock for my Mossberg 500. And it turns out I can't read and grabbed a Remington 870 stock. So I got to take that back and get a Mossberg 500 stock this time.
Oh, right on. Yeah, they make some cool cool stocks for their different shotguns. And I always thought about dressing one up that way, but I sold my 870s a few years back and got a couple of different shotguns now that Magpul doesn't make any stocks for. So kind of stuck with the stock stocks.
Yeah, for my bird gun, I've got a Benelli. Semi-auto Benelli, but they don't make stocks for that. But I like the stock. It's a nice wood-grained, nice finished stock. This Mossberg 500 has a terrible plastic stock on it, so finally upgrading to some good Magpul stuff. I've got Magpul kitted out on a bunch of my other rifles and stuff like that, so I'm excited to get this one mounted on.
Yeah, very cool, man. Sounds like a nice little weekend project.
Yeah, putting accessories on guns and doing the lawn has been the go-to, I'll say, week project. And hopefully we can scratch this one off the list. We'll just wait for the rain and sunshine to bring the green lawn on.
Yeah, well, I've got just a little bit of snow left in one spot on my lawn, but I have not been motivated to start raking it yet. That's coming up. But I also have a couple of rifles that I've done a lot of work on over the winter months, and now that our range is finally melted out up here, I got to get them out there and get them zeroed and work through on some of their paces. So just got to find time for all that. Spring is always busy.
Yeah, no kidding. Now that it's warmed up here, too, I think we hit 80 degrees yesterday in Grand Rapids. Ranges are going to start opening here, and I can, same as you, finally sight in some of my longer stuff. We've got some indoor ranges here, but those are only good up to, I can't even remember what this one is, 25, 50 yards. Some good pistol ranges indoors, but nothing to sight in rifles, so I'm excited to get those out hopefully in the next couple weeks. We've got a cottage up in Greenville on Turk Lake there, and we got some nice property out back. I'm excited to set up my range again and get that going.
Oh, yeah, I know where Turk Lake is. I actually grew up in Lowell, and my dad is still there, and he's one of the board members, I think, at Kwakizik. I'm not sure, though, what other gun clubs do you have down that way? I used to be a member at West Walker many, 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 many years ago. Do you guys have much in the way of a longer range to shoot at down there?
Long range is pretty hard to find. Way back in high school, I used to be a member at the Kent Conservation League out in Lowell. So I was on the skeet team. But they've got a nice long range out there. We've got the South Kent range as well. I've done a couple pistol competitions there. I've never shot long range. I can't remember how long theirs is either. But long rifle ranges are hard to find around here. There's a couple 150. Well, there's a couple 200 yards. Couple 300 yards. It's hard to find something if you're really trying to sight something in. You got to find somebody with a lot of property and do that somewhere else.
Yeah, the sad truth is those sportsmen's clubs are
under a lot of pressure, whether it's insurance costs or growth around them or rezoning and things like that. It's pretty rare when one of them actually has improvements that extend their services. I think most of them are shrinking, unfortunately. I think when my dad and I were shooting competitively, we had to go up to Cadillac to find a range that was 600 yards. I'm lucky. I've got a nice range up here, Emmett County Sportsman's Club, and we've got 500 yards. And then we can shoot in the winter on that 500-yard range because there's a little shooting shack that's got four or five bays in it with heat. So we can shoot year-round up here. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that sounds like the dream. Shoot, I wish I could find a range that long and see this and just plink all winter long. Yeah, you're not wrong about the shooting leagues and these ranges here. They're dying off. I can't remember. There's a range up in Greenville. Maybe you said it. I did a couple classes up there when I was doing some working with some tag teams. We did maybe it was Flat River. Is that one of them up there? Somewhere up in Greenville, I did a couple ranges. That was nice, but again, it's all short range. It's all pistol stuff.
Yeah, this will be a little bit of a throwback. When I was in Boy Scout as a young man, our troop in Lowell had its own cabin, and we had pistol ranges on our property that we would use as fundraisers, and we would host pistol matches there. It was pretty awesome.
DBH.
This is KDKP. I believe I heard a DBH, Delta Bravo Hotel, in there. Yeah, that's pretty cool about the Boy Scouts. That's a good fundraiser. You got some, keeping stuff alive there. I'm actually pulling into the Cabela's parking lot here, so I'm going to let you go. But I do believe there was that DBH in there. I'll let him come in through. KDKP.
I see GBH here in Rockford. I caught the tail end of that conversation. I'm a member at Cedar Springs and the Red Flannel Rod and Gun Club. They have 388-yard range. And then South Sportsman Club in Door has a 500-meter range. I'm a member there, too. So, anyway, got some of my favorite subjects, and I thought I'd butt in. Back to Beth.
That's good to know. Like I said, I only shot competition pistol over at South Kent. I've never actually gone on their long rifle range. I'll have to keep that in mind. And I forgot Cedar Springs has their own too. I didn't realize they had a long rifle range out there. I've done some competitions at the Rockford Sportsman Club, stuff like that. But like I said, everything around here, pistol or, it's 300 yards, nothing. I'll have to visit out to South Kent. KPKP, I'm going to be clear. Thanks for that info, and I hope you gentlemen have a good rest of your day.
I've been on the board there for a little while, not anymore, not in a long time. But, I brought back to you, or up to you. Anyway.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't think you're getting in. Your transmissions are broken up, and on the last heard page, it looks like you got quite a bit of loss. So maybe you're getting out of range of your local repeater. Anyway, good talking to you. I hope to catch you another time. K8BCW.
KF8GBW. I'll be clear.
W8FU.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon, Rick Roll. How you doing? Nice day.
Yes, sir. I'm fat, dumb, and ugly. Same as every day. How about you? Enjoying this nice warm weather and playing around comparing three different ballistic apps.
Yeah, okay. Cool. I haven't monkeyed around with anything. I never got that serious. I heard, you and Dakota talk about, I know he's got a lot of dope on all the stuff he shoots and that. And, I never was all that, into it. I enjoyed it a lot, but there's certainly much, much more, higher level of activity on that I've not partook. So so I just drove by a popo talking on my radio. Did you hear one of the guys at one of the ARPFC guys got ticketed for talking on his ham radio?
What? I thought that was supposed to be legal as long as it was permanently mounted. You must have been on an HT.
I don't even think the permanently mounted applies to us. I think amateur radio is exempt, period, end of story. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. I remember there was a permanently mounted clause, but I'm not sure if we have to abide by that. But, yeah, somebody was on their radio on their radio in the car, and they got pulled over and got a ticket. So I forget who it was, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Oh, wow, that's kind of weird. Area was in, I'll make sure I don't go over that way. AWOJ.
ETQ, Darren, and I think it was in Warren, but I could be wrong on that.
Oh, okay, I don't get over that way very often. In fact, last time I was there, I think I went to that cozy cabin, one of them Saturday morning breakfasts there. But anyway, so do you ever have any spare time? I mean, what the heck do you do for fun? It seems like you just work all the time.
No, I'm the laziest guy on earth. I work, I do my shift. I work from 7, my official hours are 7:30 to 3:30, but it's a little flexible. I'm usually in the office well before 7:30, sometimes as early as 7. So I'm usually the 3:30 commando, though. Unless there's really something pressing, I'm out the door on the button. Although there's a push to make me what's called a overtime exempt employee. That means classic salary where I just work until the work's done. Whether I work 10 hours or 3 hours, it's nobody's business as long as my work's getting done. So I'm all in favor of it because it'll come with a hopefully a pay increase. So we'll see. But right now I pretty much you can count on me from 7:30 till 3:30-ish. And then I usually go straight home and doing stuff around the house, but and I'm often working on little things that, sometimes things spill over from work, sometimes other stuff, but I wouldn't call myself all that busy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. I never hear you talking about any other kind of hobbies or anything, so I just figured this guy's working around the clock kind of thing. quite a few years back, I got a job up in Gaylord doing controls for some machinery they were building up there, and they had everybody sign a contract to hire in there. That instead of 40 hours, they'd get 45 hours out of us having to pay overtime. So everything was a 9-hour day, and I think it was 5 or something like that on Saturday.
You never heard me mention any other hobbies. You never heard me talk about cat videos? Come on, man.
Oh, I have. I thought you were joking. I love cat videos. I watch quite a few of them myself. And, I used to do a bunch of stuff, camping and hiking and backpacking and fishing and target shooting and hunting and all that kind of stuff. And I can't do any of it anymore, so it's kind of radio and video, and that's pretty much it. I still tie jigs instead of flies, and I handle it my own ammo, and that's about it for me.
Yeah, nowadays... I joke about the cat videos, but I do waste too much time doing that. I'll be down some rabbit hole reading about some new thing or something like that, or some, I'll just get wandered off, peeled off on that. But if I'm on a computer and it's not directly related to the work, it's cat videos. That's my magic word for any non-work productive. Well, I wouldn't call it non-productive, but anything that's not work-related or... If it ain't making me money and I'm on the computer, that's cat videos. Let's put it that way. But, then there's the grandkids and in that, which I don't talk about a whole lot. And
I mean, I mention it here and there, but I, you know, just, that kind of just happens. There's a bunch of stuff that, and I'm good at procrastinating. I'm extremely good at that. I've got that almost down to a perfection. But, you know, you can always do a little better. Every day, I'm just a little better at procrastinating. Every day.
Well, practice makes perfect, and there's always, it sounds like the 7 P's applies to that. Proper prior practice prevents piss poor performance.
Yep, there you go. Anyhow, are you on P25? I can't remember.
No, I got my clear note, and I and that does P25, and I hopped around on there and tried to see what was up, and the only thing I could find on P25 was some repeaters in, what was it, Ohio or Indiana or something, and it was very difficult to carry out a conversation with somebody because we were a long way apart.
Yeah, one of the, I wouldn't call it a problem, but one of the issues with P25, at least in this area, is that we aren't connected outside of our own network. And so any of that, you know, going to 10-100 worldwide or 10-200 USA or whatnot, or you know, we don't have any of that. So there's some other groups around the country that are really active. I hear that group in Alabama, the 555 talk group. I hear they're pretty active, pretty cool. But we don't connect out to any of that at this time. We have in the past, and we may again in the future, but, you know, it's in the stack of 26 things that, you know, we want to do with the hobby, it's at the bottom. It hasn't rose up to the point where it's, you know, top shelf yet. But one day I'd like to get back to that. There's some hardware out there that would, you know, be required and kind of a wholesale change of how we're doing things, you know, and we got to get it all figured out on the bench and all that before we start deploying it to the field. But we've talked about it a lot. So because of that, P25 is kind of a local thing. Now the repeaters, there's repeaters in Grand Rapids, Saginaw, Detroit, you know, the UHF one in Warren is mine. And so there's, you know, there are several repeaters. There's a group, a core group of guys up in around the Saginaw. There's a group of guys around the Grand Rapids. And, of course, there's the guys over here. But, you know, that amounts to what? You know, 20 guys? So it's kind of one of those, you know, the reward is you got to temper your expectations if you play in those, in that water.
Oh, yeah, right, but actually, you know, that doesn't sound pretty bad. I mean, you kind of got your own little core group there, and you don't have a lot of people coming in and keying up and doing goofy things. It don't sound all that bad. That clear note has got NXDN and P25 and YSF and another Yaesu, DMR and all that kind of stuff, but I dinked around with a few of the other ones, and I thought, I got enough going with analog and DMR, so I was kind of sticking with that.
Oh, yeah, if you were asking me, you know, what to invest in, you know, analog, obviously, get a mobile, you know, analog, and then I'd probably say DMR first, and then... But if a person went Fusion first, I would understand that. That's the way they have to go. I'm a big P25 fan, but it'd be down there with, it'd probably only be slightly more recommended than D-Star. And D-Star I admittedly don't know enough about. So, but, you know, there just is no infrastructure in. If you're not going to have any infrastructure, I hardly see the point. But and there's not a lot of P25 infrastructure. That's why those two would fall way behind the other two, you know. And we're splitting hairs over. You know, me, it would be, you know, I got to have DMR and P25, you know, everywhere I go. But that's me, right? And
I would hardly put it on a top list for a noob coming in. Like, yeah, there's a high expense, low reward. But DMR, on the other hand, that can be low expense and a very high reward. W8FU.
Yeah, now, I'm a fellow that did the Warriors X C4FM first. I bought that 991A, and I thought, well, okay, let's jump into digital stuff. So I started playing with that, and that was kind of nice. But I actually, instead of getting the Warriors X and, an online digital, I did the C4FM and started cruising the 2-meter band. And propagation was pretty good one night, and I connected to a repeater in West Virginia. Yeah, we were talking like you guys are freaking out. They said, it sounds like you're in the chair next to me kind of thing. We had a nice long conversation for about an hour, so that fired me up a little bit. So I started at the end of 2 meter and C4FM all the time, but that didn't happen very often. But yeah, and then after a while, I kind of got a little – I actually set up a node here at the house. I got, had a 300D mobile, and it can be set. There's ways to boot this thing. I can boot it into a node, and where you can use the radio or just plain node kind of thing, and or a regular radio. And I kind of forgot what the third one was. I'd have to look it up. I haven't played with it in so long. I have to learn all over again. TEWOJ.
Tell you, the thing I like about Fusion is it's so easy. I mean, just program in the frequency and hit the button. It's really they thought that out, and it sounds pretty good. Although still, you know, both DMR and Fusion, I hear a lot of people that sound really horrible, and it's like, oh, I can't stand it. So I'll end up turning it off, and then I won't remember to turn it back on or put it back in the scan list. That's my biggest, always been my biggest complaint with those two modes. Again. Absolutely no background with D-Star at all, so I have no comment there. D25, and I don't know if it's because, you know, the kind of rigs you got to buy or you know, people are, you know, you got to kind of be able to figure things out to crack into the P25 world. And, no one spoon-feeding it. And the radios are expensive, and so maybe that's why they all sound good, because, you know, mostly have people that have figured things out, you know, and they got radios that were, you know, expensive at one time, you know, retired Motorola police radios and things like that. So maybe that's why, I don't know, but for some reason, just things sound good. Very, very, unless you do P25 on, like, MMDBM. Somebody's coming in cross-modeling or something, then you get all the crap that you get with any of the other modes. But we don't have that, so we rarely hear that. But I am getting off in the weeds on that one, that's for sure. What's for dinner? That's the real, real important question.
Yeah, what's for dinner? Yeah, and, I'll just say, with the Warriors X, I used to hang out at this Kansas City Y. It's a great big forum kind of thing. And anyway, I kind of find out that with the Warriors X, you can send photographs or text message kind of thing. And I was kind of surprised about that, but I never really did it. There wasn't anybody I wanted to send anything to. And dinner, yeah, oh, my God. I was having gut troubles there, and I just went a week, 7 days with no food. And just yesterday, I started to eat a little bit again. And this morning, I had a big old plate full of biscuits and gravy. So I think I'm set for the rest of the day.
Yeah, Wally and I went to Bob Evans the other day. I think it was yesterday. And they had this breakfast that they did, which was basically some of their... little square potatoes, whatever, home-style potatoes, some eggs, and over some biscuits with some gravy. And I got that. And I love their gravy. And all in all, I used to think they were really pricey, but, you know, it's funny because everybody else has come up kind of their prices and have gotten used to it, and theirs didn't go up. So they seem kind of normal for me now. based on what everything else is. So, I do like their biscuits and gravy. It's really, you see them buy at the store. They got a box of it. You just heat and eat. They have their biscuits, their sausage and everything. You can get the whole Bob Evans experience right at home on a Sunday morning. And now you can't get the gravy. I can't find it anywhere. I've checked all the usual suspects. Not there. You can get the biscuits, I think, still, and you can still get the sausage patties, but be darned if I can't find the gravy.
K-E-A-R-U-H?
Actually, Anthony, I'm a biscuit and gravy lover myself, and anywhere that serves it, I try it out. And to be honest with you, I found Libby's canned sausage gravy in the grocery stores. And so far, I think it's better than most of the stuff I've gotten in any of the restaurants. It's like $2 a can, I think, something like that. And it's good stuff. I got probably 15 or 20 cans put away over here. Anthony, go ahead.
Just wanted to say, I got one of the radios when I met with Dakota. Got it going here and testing it out. A Motorola XPR4550. I got it going in the garage here and seems to be working out great.
Yeah, it's significantly hotter than Rick, but sounds good. You're in nice, no digital, so it's working. Has a good radio. Those radios, all they did was just made the display a little fancier, but they all work really well. Right on up through, so that's a good radio to get there. So good to hear you on. And I'm going to pass over to Rick now. But Rick, did you say Libby, like the brand Libby? Because I don't think I've ever looked for it. I'll have to give that a try.
Yep, L-I-B-Y, Libby. It's in most of the grocery stores. I find it in the gravy and sauces area. And you keep a good sharp eye out, and you'll see Libby pop out at you, and then it's sausage and gravy kind of thing. And, man, it is good stuff. I think you'll like it. If you want, you can add a little spices to it. I've had went to a few restaurants where they really spiced up the gravy quite a bit. It was okay, but it ain't something I'd want to, To me, biscuits and gravy is kind of a comfort food, and you don't need to be burning your mouth with it. But if you run across it in the grocery store, it's Libby's. Sausage gravy. Anthony, go ahead.
Well, it's good to hear I'm coming in good. I'll have to get into it. Dakota programmed it up for me. I'll have to get into it and try to figure out how to turn the mic gain down. Or I'll just have to stand further away from the mic or talk lower. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, just back off a little. Now, where am I compared to Rick? Back over to you. Like, when you listen to Rick and I, is he quieter than me or louder than me? Or are we the same?
You are definitely louder than he is. I don't want to say by quite a bit, but it is a measurable amount.
Okay, so my next question is, Rick, does Anthony and I sound the same? Because it could be you're just a little low. Do we sound the same to you?
Yes, both of you sound the same, just slightly hot to me. And I'm glad you mentioned that because everybody's always telling me, oh, yeah, you sound good kind of thing. So apparently I'm kind of low, so I'm going to have to jump in and see if I can't kick it up a little bit.
I think Ricky's okay. You guys are both too hot, you and Anthony. I want to go down one notch.
All right, I thought you were pretty good, Dave. I would agree. Anthony was a little hot when he came out there, and I'm running a Motorola 5550, so probably similar. I'm going to back off a little bit, but I'm going to look at that too, because Anthony would sound better if he was down just a hair.
Cool. I'll have to figure that out. I think I have the right software downloaded. I'll have to figure that out over the next couple of days, see what I can do.
Yeah, it's really no big deal, and if you just back off a little bit, it made all the difference in the world, but I just put it on your agenda, like when you get a chance kind of a thing. All right, cool. And Dave knows what we're talking about, so he's got a fairly discriminating ear for that.
Yeah, it's really hard to get DMR perfect. You gotta like almost train yourself to talk in a nice, calm voice. I know it's hard when you're in the car and stuff.
I'm a loud Italian. That's basically impossible for me.
And when you hear him going up and down, that's because he's talking with his hands and the mic's waving in front of his face.
So true. He does, DMI sometimes is a little aggravating for me because just because of that reason, he's constantly turning the volume up, turning the volume down. But so far, you guys all seem to stay pretty much the same. David seems pretty good, but you guys are adding up. Maybe it's just my radio, but it seems like some of the networks just sound low to begin with compared to other repeaters in the area.
I just went past the elementary school my kids went to. They're just letting out, and I'm shocked at how many PERCAs I'm seeing. I just never would have guessed the quantity. Huh. Go figure.
I think it's probably a little bit more standard than any of us realize at this point.
Yeah, I kind of knew we had a number of, I don't know if they're Indian or Punjab or whatever, but you know, we've got several of those families around the neighborhood, scattered throughout, here and there. You see them, they'll be in the garage with the hookah pipes and stuff. And, yeah, I don't know, but that basic region. And, I just didn't, but they're definitely not wearing the, hijabs or the burqas or any of that stuff. So I was surprised. We don't generally see a lot. I didn't notice a lot of that in the neighborhood. But, hey, whatever. No big deal. Makes us ethnically diverse. All right, I'm almost home, gentlemen. I'm going to make this my final as I back in the driveway. Got to collect up my trash cans, get those in the back, go in, get comfortable, and then figure out what the day looks like. W-A-F-U. Let's see, who haven't we heard from in a hot minute? Just heard from Anthony. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, have a good one, Sean. Take care, and be careful out there. And what the heck else has you got? David, good to hear you, in case you're taking off, too. Anthony, go ahead.
All right, Sean, have a great day. And I'm going to also be out for a little bit here. I'll be monitoring, but I got to do some organizing and cleaning up in the garage. So I'll be around, but I will just be monitoring. K-8-R-U-H. Have a good afternoon, gentlemen, and I'm sure I'll talk with you in a little while.
All right, talk to you guys later. Yeah, I'm going to go back to work and see you later.
Okay, see y'all later. I'm going back to watching Karmic Moments on caught on camera. It's kind of funny. Have a good one, K-8-W-O-J.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Dakota. How you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm doing better now that I'm heading home. How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there. Spent the afternoon fooling around comparing three ballistics programs, and now I'm going through some ammo looking for what I got in 308 so I can test out that new barrel.
What do you use for your baseline ammo?
Well, in my other 308, I had 165 Game Kings pushed by 44 grains of 7.48.
So do you bring a variety of different loads for that caliber and see which one it likes the best and then kind of start working that direction, or you just bring one and go, okay, I need to go up weight, down weight, whatever?
No, usually if I it's a new caliber, I'll buy five different boxes of factory ammo just to see if there is a factory ammo that will shoot well. And then that gives me fire-formed brass to start loading with. And then I look in the hand load recipes, and a lot of them will recommend what they found to be the most accurate. If it's a powder I got, I'll start with that. Go from minimum to the max, in like 2 or 3 tenths of a grain, and see if you can find some accuracy nodes there. If not, you pick other powders and do the same thing over and over again until you, you find something that the barrel likes.
So that's a whole methodical process.
Yeah, like a lot of other things, you got to try to eliminate variables, just like bench shooting. I mean, it seems like it's kind of easy because you're just sitting at a resting at a bench, but, there's a technique to it that's, anyway, yeah, you're right. Sometimes you stumble into something right away. Sometimes I've spent all spring, summer, and a good portion of the fall looking for that load, you know, that one magic load. And then all of a sudden one time you stumble on it, and that's it. From that point on, you start using that load.
I'd be worried enough of a rabbit hole that I would never come out of trying to chase that load.
You know, I was hooked big time on that two-week rifle deer season. It was my favorite thing of the year. I'd wait 50 weeks to do something for 2 weeks, and it got pretty frustrating. So I thought, you know what, I'm kind of really enjoying this loading and testing the load stuff. And that became my actual favorite hobby. In fact, sometimes when I end up finding the load, I'm kind of a little bit disappointed because now I got to find another one to work on. T-A-W-O-J.
So you've been reloading for quite some time. When did radio come into the mix?
Yeah, I've been doing the load stuff probably about 30 years, and the radio stuff was about 3 years ago. Sitting around the house here and playing with GMRS, and then I got the bright idea, you know, I should actually look into some of this for real. So I bought a couple of cheap Bofangs off of Amazon just to listen and figure out how to program them and listen to the repeaters and see how people talk and, you know, etiquette and all that kind of stuff. And that got me going further. And then I started buying those manuals for, you know, techs and generals and all that stuff and started studying. These 308s I'm looking for are looking at now. These are the leftovers of stuff that weren't accurate. they're still tagged on what they're loaded with, what bullets they are, and like partitions and ballistic tips and all that. These are the leftovers from the stuff that didn't work. So I'm going to try some of those first, recover some of the brass, and then we'll see if I can find something else that works.
Man, I'm embarrassed to say I have simplified my portfolio. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 different ammos. Yeah. Four, I mean, obviously I got all the crap that I don't really shoot, but in surplus and use, I have 4 different ammos and 4 different calibers, and that is all I shoot. I've not deviated at all from that.
Well, that's actually what you're supposed to do. I'm just crazy, I guess. I like fooling around with it. I like, coming up with the loads and, checking out the recipes. And it's a whole hobby in itself. And then when you do find a little bug, you know, one that shoots a little bug hole, you're kind of proud. You got, okay, this is cool, you know. And then, you know, you can stay with it, but then you got different lots of powder. You got to have a whole bunch of powder in that particular lot. Because even the factories in their ballistic labs, you know, they mix powders to come up with, you know, something that works to a certain velocity and all that kind of stuff that we can't do. But anyway, they mix powders and, different lot numbers. And it might be 10% plus or minus on velocities, which all of a sudden now change your trajectories and your dope, and, you know what I mean, kind of thing. So you either got to buy a whole bunch of one lot when you find a good one, or you're constantly retweaking, you know, after you run out of. I buy them by the pounds. It's cheaper that way. A lot of guys that are really into it buy 8 pounds at a time. It lasts them a whole lot longer. They don't have to chase the lot numbers as much.
That ain't you, yeah. I do the same thing, but not to that granular degree. I'll just, I'll buy, you know, I'll figure out what the gun likes, and then when I do buy it, I'll buy it. Most of the time, whatever's on the shelf is the same lot number, and then I'll run that forever. Like, for example, I'm still on the same lot number for when I bought my 350 Legend. I don't even know, whenever they came out. So I've been shooting that same batch that I bought for years, probably 3 or 4 years now.
Oh, excellent. I'll load up a batch. I like fresh ammo. I don't know why. I just like fresh ammo. And I'll load up a big, you know, batch that I found shoots real well, little bug holes kind of thing. And then I can't help myself. I go out to the range and I go to make sure it's still shooting bug holes and start playing around, trying to hunt flies, you know, different crap. And the next thing you know, I'm out of ammo again. I got to start loading all over. So it's kind of like a, just like you said, an endless rabbit hole.
I used to obsess over my rifles and cleaning them and all that. I mean, I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the line, I just came to the realization. It's like, I'm doing this, and it's not giving me any better results than I already have, so why am I doing this? And I think that's kind of where my pursuit of diving into the shooting and hunting portion of the hobby, I don't want to say died, but stopped for me. I kind of was like, okay, for once, I was like, I'm content with what I have. It's performing. But I know for a fact that if it was in my hands to make it shoot more accurately, then it would never end.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of like you. I do the, you know, for a bird can, for a new barrel, I do the shoot clean, shoot clean, shoot clean, shoot clean, you know. And then a couple of little two or three shot groups clean, you know, same thing with a couple, a few rounds. Until you work up to five, you know. And then after that, it's pretty much broken kind of thing. Then clean it once and then start shooting. You know, groups and doing the load testing thing, but I don't clean any of mine until the accuracy starts falling off. I find my off-the-shelf rifles and barrels shoot better dirty, and you don't get. I don't seem to get as much of a variance in the cold bore shot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I realized too. Like my 17 HMR. It shoots well clean, but the Cold War shot, the POI shifts if it's spotless. And then I follow it out with like five rounds, and it's exactly where it used to be. So I either have to be cognizant of that and waste a couple rounds or cheat a couple rounds, and then I'm back, or I just kind of, like you said, when it starts to fall off and it's already not shooting as good as it should, then I clean it.
Yep, kind of exactly what I do. When, before deer season, you know, everybody's got to go to the range and, you know, check your slate in kind of thing. So I'll go fool around, check the slate in the groups and all this stuff to make sure something hasn't happened over the summer or whatever. But usually it ain't very long. Mine don't sit for very long. I've been used to now. But anyway, I check to zero. And then I come home and clean them. And then, but before I actually go up and go deer hunting, I make sure I put five rounds through it, you know, to dirty it up. So I've got no excuses.
I think the understanding of that and the ability to understand that is what separates good shooters from, or I should say, above average shooters to good shooters, because it's a different level to go to a great shooter. That's a whole other can of worms there. But I think when you understand that a gun's got a personality, and you're not just buying a gun, you're not just slapping a scope on it, and you're not just zeroing it at an arbitrary distance and shooting whatever ammo they had at the store, like that's when you excel as a shooter and a hunter.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy the heck out of all the testing, you know, kind of thing. In fact, I used to go to the Pure Sportsman's Club in the fall, all of November. They're open to the public for sighting days, you know. People will come there and sight in their guns, and if they don't know what they're doing, we help them and if they want it, you know, kind of thing. And it's kind of interesting, you know. You'll be talking to guys, and they'll be getting ready to send out that bench and ask them what they got. And, oh, I got this 308. And, well, how's it shoot? Oh, I could shoot the eyes out of a gnat at a half a mile riding a horse, you know. Okay, you know. Knowing full well he's going to be sitting down at the bench in 5 minutes and shooting, and they're going to have to prove it, you know. And then they sit out at the bench, and they can't hit the target. And then they start saying, the wife must have hit the scope in the closet or something. You just kind of chuckle and you help them get back on the paper again.
That ain't giving up. No one's got more excuses from the guy that talks a big game and they can't shoot.
Yeah, we had one fellow that rolled up one day in this car and rolled right up to the line there, popped his trunk, and he had a Blazer R93 tool and a trunk full of Federal Gold Medal match. All the stuff that snipers would use kind of thing, you know. So I asked him, well, what do you do? And he goes, well, I work for the government, but, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And most people chuckle after they said that. He was actually serious, apparently. Not that anybody bought it. But so anyway, I was all thrilled to see one of these rifles, and I was about to see how it was going to shoot. So he sat down and, you know, big deal, big shot kind of thing. And started poking away at the target, 100 yard, I think it was. And they were not two good groups, you know what I mean? He got extremely upset and started, you know, coming up with all kinds of excuses, the gun and the ammo and this and that and the other, you know. And while he was stomping around steaming kind of thing, the range officer said, Rick, why don't you give it a try, you know? And the guy goes, yeah, yeah, why don't you give it a try, you know? So I sat down, and I didn't like the monopod, so I cupped it in my hand and got 3 inches of clover. I said, well, it seems okay to me. The guy got upset. Yeah, I mean, he literally picked the stuff up, threw it in his case, and threw the stuff in the car and went tearing out of there. Everybody bust out laughing.
From what I've heard, I had a buddy that was, he's since left the department, but he's at a different one. But he was there, it wasn't SWAT, but it was like their tactical team. Maybe it was, I don't know. Anyway, he was their marksman, and he told me, like, what their criteria was. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, they were like, scoring them inside of 100. Obviously, they shot farther than that, but the differences that they were, like, evaluating them on. I'm like, I could shoot a handgun that far. What do you mean? Like, you guys have these $6,000, $7,000 rifles and you're worried about shooting 75 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to have local police SWATs come out to the Pontiac State Range over here sometimes. And so, of course, once they were out, I was interested. So I'd just sit at my bench with my spot and scope and watch what they were doing, you know. A lot of them went laying plain because they had to do stuff prone, you know, so they'd lay prone underneath the bench kind of thing, and I'd kind of watch them, and they really were really snobby kind of thing. You'd go down there and start talking to them about their guns or, you know, whatever kind of thing. They didn't want to talk to nobody at all. They wanted everybody to do it above us, you know, us little peons at the range, and yeah, you look at the groups going down the range, and the best one.
I lost the end of that there, Rick.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like you were going through the jungle. But, yeah, anyway, I was just saying that we were, we'd watch them guys, and you know, they were kind of snobby and didn't have anything to do with us, talk to us or anything kind of thing. So, anyway, I'd watch them and look down the line and the targets and the groups. And a lot of the best groups didn't come from them guys.
I believe it. I know there a lot of the department qualifications are like, they're not good. I used to shoot, I had a VR set with a staccato replica that the controller went in, like super, super realistic simulation for shooting aside from recoil, obviously, right? But like the gun pointed the same. Obviously, it was the same handset as a staccato, so it felt good. It was weighted like a staccato. The targets were all different actual like shooting drills. So I would do some of, like, the law enforcement qualification drills and stuff like that, and they're not hard. Like, they don't really, they're not super strenuous scores. I don't know how they score, but like, the distances they're shooting, the target types they're shooting, like, obviously there's not the element of stress and adrenaline, right? But, like, from a shooting standpoint, the standards don't seem like they're all that high.
I've got a cousin, and he was heavy into handgun and defensive shooting. He used to go to, you would know it, it's over in, anyway, they had, it's those matches, those kind of things where you have to run and get behind barriers and shoot at things, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it was all, like you said, close range kind of stuff. And he was pretty good at it, so I talked him into coming out to the rifle range at Pontiac Lake. And I sat down with my Sako 243 varmint and took a shot at the bullseye down there at 100 yards. We looked through the scope, and it was dead on. I mean, dead center of the target. The guy looked at me like I was some kind of freak, you know. And he said apparently he thought 100 yards was a long way.
Yeah, back when I first started shooting, I thought 100 yards was far, too. And now I look for the shots that are further than, you know, 200, 300, not deer running, but varmint hunting. I like to see how far I can stretch stuff.
Yeah, now to me, I used to sit at the corner of a corn or a bean field, soybean field, and watch all these deer, magnificent bucks and stuff, come out in the evening just before dark into this bean field. And there was a woods 400, 450. Man, I used to think that was long, long range, you know. And then you start talking to actual long range shooters, and they consider short range 0 to 500 and 500 to 1,000 as mid-range, and long range don't start until after 1,000. Oh, my God. Here I am stumbling trying to learn how to shoot 400, 450.
Yeah, like I said, I got that one buddy. He goes out west every year or every other year, and he shoots muleys and cow elk at 500-600 yards every time he goes.
Well, honestly, that's what got me into this in the first place. I always wanted to go out west and go on one of those hunts, and I thought, man, I got to learn this stuff if I'm going to ever do that kind of thing. So I actually spent 2 years in my spare time going to places like Sniper's Hide, where the ex-military folks hang out, where they do training and all this other kind of stuff, but a whole bunch of other places. And slowly over 2 years, I started learning what was involved and the equations and all this other kind of stuff, you know. But I never really got a chance to get out and put it to work till after the 2 years kind of thing.
Yeah, that's, if he wants me to go with him all the time, like, dude, that's a lot of money. That's time I got to take off of work. You know, I got kids. You know, he's very, very well-to-do, and his kids are older, so the luxury I don't have just yet. But one of these years I plan to go, and then I'm sure I'll get the bug and want to go all the time. But first things first, I need a rifle that I can hunt out west with. So back to the drawing board there. You know, I got to get something that A, confident in, B, is going to do the job, C, none of that sounds cheap.
Oh yeah, this hobby ain't cheap. That's for sure. Another reason I got into the hand loading. But now, you know, people always ask me, is it really cheaper to hand load? No, it's not really cheaper to hand load. It costs you about the same money, or maybe it's like, you know, when you first have to buy all the equipment, sure, it could cost you, you know. But after that, it doesn't really save you money, but you do a whole lot more shooting for the same money. You know what I mean? As it is, you would buy in factory ammo kind of thing. Like maybe, I don't know, just an example. Say, I don't know, 100 rounds of 7-mag factory ammo cost you, what, $100 or something like that. But that same $100 hand loading, you probably get 200-400 yards or 400 rounds out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would argue that all day long. I mean, my 223... Varmint Express, not Superformance. Superformance is my 22-250, but that box of ammo is $35 for 20 rounds, so, you know, it's not economical at all. But if you're one that wants to go punch paper and shoot, for sure that's the way to do it, is load your own stuff, and then you get the abundance versus going broke buying factory ammo.
Yep, and then you can play around, having a little shooting matches. Three of us have got out there, a Ventress guy, a varmint shooter, and myself were at the range, and we all had varmint rifles, heavy barrel varmint rifles, and the two guys got into a little contest there, one with his bench gun and the other guy with a new Hawa varmint, and he was bragging about how accurate it was, and he could beat the bench rest guy and all that. So they were going to take a 30-06 empty case and go down at 100 yards, push it through the back of the styrofoam, and then put a bullet down the throat of that 30-06. And I says, hey, wait a minute, put one up down there for me. I had my Sacco varmint, it was shooting pretty good that day. So, okay, so they put one in there. So we all took turns shooting bullets down the throat of that 30-06 case. It was kind of fun. But whoops, I can understand where folks that have to buy factory ammo don't want to waste it.
I tell my buddies in IR, if it's not a competition, it's not fun.
Yeah, right. I used to go to Ventress matches and watch them, and I was up at what the heck is it? Harrison. They got some Ventress guys up there. I was up there watching one of their matches, and they were telling me about they have a fly shoot. They get bored of the regular matches, so once in a while they have a fly shoot, and the entry fee is a pound of frozen hamburger. And all the guys kick in a pound of frozen hamburger. Then they take one of them and kind of thaw it out, and then they start rubbing it on the targets at 100 yards. And then they sit back, and the flies are drawn to the targets to smell the burger. and they have a fly shoot, and whoever hits the most flies wins all the hamburgers. So somebody ends up with like 40, 50 pounds of hamburger.
That's probably out of my capability. Although with my old air rifle, I had an FX, oh, not an impact, what was it called? It's going to drive me FX, something, oh my god. Maverick? I don't know. Anyway, not the impact, the one under that. And it was a 25 cal, and my old house was a bungalow. And I looked out the window, there was this gigantic ball-faced hornet nest hanging from the top of like a 60-foot tree branch. So maybe not 60 feet, probably about 45. It was just above my roof line. And it was a couple, I don't know, 25, 30 yards away from the house. So basically it was going to fall and it was going to land 10 yards off my driveway. And I'm like, there's no way I can get up there. There's no way I'm going to knock that thing down. What do I do? So I went in the garage, I grabbed my propane tank, a little 20-pounder, and hooked up my blowtorch for burning weeds and melting ice and all that crap. Had that ready to go. And went back over the loft, I grabbed my FX, cracked the window. Thankfully, it was hanging from like a dinky quarter-inch thick branch, maybe a little 3/8-inch branch. And first shot, smoked that thing, dropped the whole hive. So I'm like, holy crap, now I got to go deal with this. So I run downstairs, run to the garage, light that thing, and I go out there. And thankfully, they were kind of like, I don't know if they were confused or what, but they didn't really swarm too much. They're all kind of hanging out by the nest, so I just torched the whole thing into the oblivion and got rid of it that way.
Yeah, that's... I thought you were going to say you ran downstairs into the basement and put a big armor suit on or something out there.
No, but it would have been smarter than the flip-flop shorts and t-shirt I was wearing.
We had that 20 acres out hundred there, and I was on a Ford 8N tractor with a brush hog mowing kind of thing, and I inadvertently went over an ant or a bee's nest that I didn't see, or hornet's nest, or whatever the heck it was, I can't remember. And I didn't have a shirt on, and next thing I know, man, I am getting stung all over the back, and they're swarming all over me. I stopped the tractor and run off that thing and got into the house, and it was nasty.
You know, I don't know why. I think I told you this. That's been like the rabbit hole I've been down on YouTube. So now my algorithm is all these, like, you know, bee nest, honeybee nest relocation, or, you know, killing hornets or whatever. And it's all the same stuff, same genre. But I've been, like, infatuated by it. It's so interesting. And that's what people keep talking about. They're like, these underground nests, people are cutting their grass, and they don't see it, they don't know it's there. Next thing you know, they're getting swarmed, and they're jumping off the mower and running.
Yeah, I know exactly what they mean. The old man, I think he went out there. I'm not sure what he did. I think he waited a couple hours till everything calmed back down. I don't know if he went out there with a gas can or what, a kerosene can or something like that, and poured it on there and lit the doggone thing. But we weren't bothered with him again.
Sorry, I was checking my text there. Anthony's got his new radios in his possession. I'm wondering if he's listening out here. I want to hear what they sound like over the air. We all met up for lunch today, and I finally got everyone their gear back.
Yeah, he was on here a little while ago before you came on, talking on it, and it sounded pretty good. It was just a little bit hot.
Good deal. That's what I like to hear. I know he's got some tweaking to do. He texted me, and he was asking which code point to use. But he sent me a picture of it earlier before I left work, and he's like, I don't even need my hotspot anymore. And I was like, I'm telling you, like, as soon as I got Motorola's in my hand, I did not use my open spot anymore. Well, I lied. I did initially because I didn't realize I didn't have to. So now I can literally walk around the house and with an HD and talk on this system, which is so cool. And what's not so cool is I have an open spot 4 Pro sitting on my desk not doing anything anymore.
Okay, I got to ask you, the open spot 4 Pro, does it do All-Star?
No, it is digital only.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what stopped me from buying it. I just didn't see anything in their marketing or specs about All-Star. And I was hearing people on the radio going, oh, yeah, OpenSpot 4 does All-Star. And I'm going, what did I miss, you know?
No, those people are, in fact, wrong. It does not do anything other than digital. You can cross-mode digital, so you can do Fusion and DMR and things like that, but it does not cross-mode into All-Star unless you do some roundabout reflector way. Which the general population is not going to know how to do. So Short answer, long answer, no, it does not do All-Star, but the M1K Heat does.
Oh, that's another one I was looking at. I kind of like that. I heard a guy up in the UP, he was on a golf course somewhere. Doggone, that thing had great audio.
Yeah, KFAS has one, and he's happy with it. They're sweet. I'm just one of those guys that wants to use my radio, so that's why I like the concept of a hotspot or a node.
Well, me too, but I you know, I figured for traveling and wandering around, you know, in the car, I don't have a mobile in the car. So it'd be great in the car or, you know, motel rooms or up in friends' houses up north kind of thing, where otherwise I got to carry around the HT, then I got to get a battery for it. Then I got to use the phone as the hotspot. So you got cables going here and there kind of thing and carrying around the three of them. It's like, the MK1's all by itself kind of thing.
No, that's for sure. There's something to be said for the simplicity of that. And I think they cost the same as the open spot, don't they?
Yeah, it's just a key. This is just a little bit more, I think. But I was wrong. It's not actually that simple. You still have to, you know, if I was up north or in the car or something, I'd still have to go through the phone hotspot to get a, because the MK1 only works on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's correct. But the whatever technology that OpenSpy uses for the Wi-Fi or protocol, I don't know what they do, but it's magical. If you have the profile set up correctly, it's connected to it within seconds of turning on.
Yeah, right. I need to win the lotto.
You're telling me I need to stop buying radios.
Yeah, I get looking at the OEMs there and what the new stuff and all this. And I go, oh, gee, I think I got to have that. And I'm like, no, maybe I need to walk away for a little while kind of thing. Everything I look at, oh, I need new barrels, oh, I need a new gun. There's at least three new guns I'd like to get. I just don't have all that money. I got to quit looking.
Yeah, me too. I've been pretty fiscally irresponsible the last month or two with amateur radio stuff, but I've been enjoying it. Like, DMR has been a blast. I'm glad I bit the bullet and bought a DMR mobile, because that's made a big difference. And now it's, excuse me, it's the weather's warm, 67 according to my truck, and it's polar weather. So now this shift has gone towards HF radio, and I bought an amp today off of K8 VSI, so I'm excited to play with that maybe this evening. So yeah, it's nonstop. There's always something new and shiny.
Yeah, last year in January, I bought that Anytone 878 to make my first jump into GMR. And actually, I fought with it, code plugs, and trying to get it to work and this, all the way till, I think it was June. It was almost 6 months before I got GMR working. I was pulling my hair out. I gave up a few times for a few days, and it would bug the crap out of me because I don't like giving up. And I'd take a break for a few days, and then back at it again, and once I got it working, it was like, what a relief. It was like the world got off of my shoulders.
It is daunting at first, for sure. Once you get it working, though, you're like, oh, my God, I broke through. I know what I'm doing now. Now it's kind of like everything else, right? You suck in nature programming, so you know what you're doing. Give me a minute here. I'm going to pull into the party store and get myself a nice cold case of beer. I'll be right back. NADDF.
Hey, MSB. You mind if I break in for a quick audio check?
Yes, sir. The audio is real good. Just a little bit, maybe just a little bit on the hot side.
Okay, how's this? I backed up the mic a little bit to a normal distance this time.
Yeah, that sounded a little bit better.
All right, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're kind of drifting in and out, though. You were busting in the first time, but the second and third time, you were kind of dropping out. Oh, that one was perfect. You'll enjoy it, that's for sure. It's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I manage a P25 system for a private company. We have 10 sites across the U.S., and that kind of got me into the whole DMR thing, and I ran my own DMR repeater for a little while, and I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, excellent. Well, how's life up in Midland?
Well, today it's a little bit rainy, but the past 2 days it's been sunshine and 75, so nothing to really complain about here.
Yeah, at least we don't have all the flooding that the northern lower's got, I guess, and some of the UP.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that. I grew up near the Grayling area, and right on the Estable River. Really never experienced that much flooding, but watching the news and everything, it's crazy, unprecedented.
Yep, I never expected that in Michigan, but all the rivers and the little lakes that had dams on them and that are just going crazy up there. And then at the same time, the Sanford Dam just got fixed, and now they're apparently refilling the lake.
Yeah, I think on the 15th they closed the gates and started refilling. I've been over there a couple times, and I think they're bringing it up about a foot a day, so it's starting to look nice over there.
I used to wander by there on my way up north. I got tired of the most direct route, so I took the what I call the scenic route, and I would go across there and then pick up 66 and then head up north that way through some of the highways instead of constantly all freeway.
Oh, I hear you. Anytime I get, I try to stay off the highways, drive the back roads. Just a lot more to see, a lot more business, small businesses to check out. Definitely a lot nicer when you can do it that way if you have the time.
Yep, some of them small businesses are sometimes it's like you found a piece of gold or something. Yep, there was another breakthrough in there for a radio test. You were coming in pretty good.
Hey, appreciate your time. I got to step into work now. Thanks for the radio check. K-8-M-F-D.
Okay, Matt, have a good one and be careful out there. K-8-W-O-J.
MXG, listening.
Paul, MXG, go ahead.
Can you tell by what method I'm broadcasting? I'm just trying out a new hotspot and it's acting insane, or else I am. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know, but all I can tell you is you're on VMR on Statewide 1. And you're in Northville. You're coming in here pretty clear. Your audio sounds pretty good.
I'm still working on this hotspot. It's a learning experience. Appreciate your response. I'm out.
Okay, Paul, have a good one. I'd say you did okay because it's working. It seems to be working all right. Okay, you did okay.
Double with you there, Rick. Hell, the whole ordeal, but I'm out.
Uh-oh, that don't sound good. An ordeal at the party store. especially on a Friday night.
I don't know what it is, but even the gas station I usually go to, they never, ever carry the 20-pack of Miller Lite bottles, which is all I drink. And the lady was nice. She goes, go in the cooler and look for some. I found the last two, and they're cold.
There you go. That's karma looking out for you.
Yes, sir, but it sounded like some people kept you company. A couple signal checks coming in.
Yeah, they must have been listening while we were yakking there. Yeah, they both sounded pretty good there.
Yeah, we went for a while there. I'm sure everyone's ears are burning. Well, 50 minutes straight. Sorry, MI5.
Thanks for what you do.
Well, I have to be honest, I'm not sorry at all.
If they didn't want us to use it, it wouldn't be here.
Yep, and all I hear on most of the systems when I hit scan is just dead air. And David, hello, how you doing?
Yep, just out walking the dog before it rains. But no, you guys are testing the network, so I'm sure they appreciate a little bit of that.
Just doing my duties as a ham.
Always glad to help. And so if you're walking a dog, you must be walking around with an HT, and you're just kind of booming right in here. You must be pretty close to the repeater.
Yeah, I'm about 5 or 6 miles to Mount Clemens. Yeah, if I'm outside, I get a good signal.
Stuff does work wonders, man. I'm telling you, I'm turning on the almost my road, and I'm going to get inside, grab my HD, and really do the same thing Hayes do, except I don't have a dog to walk. And Hayes doing anything other than laying around. But I'm going to jump out here. I'll be back, I don't know, probably 20 minutes, half hour, so maybe I will catch you guys then. 10-8-BBF.
Okay, catch you later, Dakota. Always good talking with you. And, Dave, Dakota tells me you got them M1 KEs. Are you using that thing right now?
Yeah, I use it on and off. I mean, I'm not talking on it right now, but I use it to go on, like, All-Star or, you know, just like how I was doing in England or whatever. You could connect up that way. Through Wi-Fi with All-Star. But, yeah, no, they added All-Star, like, Probably about 4 months after they released it, so it took them a while, and I was surprised that they added All-Star and Echo Link to it. I haven't tried the Echo Link, but All-Star works, but then, like, all the other digital protocols as well.
Oh, that's kind of what my Clear Note does. It does pretty much the same thing, and right around the same price there, but you're the reason I ended up getting the Note. I heard you in England, walking around in England, talking on an HT, and you were loud and clear back here on the FBI, and I said, man, I got to learn how to do that.
Yeah, if you remember, I think I told you, it was just repeater phone, the iPhone app. So in that case, I was just using the phone.
Oh, I got you. Well, either way, communicating with the buds back on the repeaters was pretty awesome. And I think before that, I was on GMRS, and I used to listen to Sean up north in St. Helens there, going to the grocery store. And he's talking way back down here on GMRS, and I'm like, how the heck is he doing that?
Yeah, but St. Helens is probably Eric, and they used to have, like, a way in through, like, the phone as well, but then, you know, the FCC got a little wonky with those rules, so I think that got all stopped.
Oh, that's too bad. I got an app. I can't remember what it's called now because I quit using it, but that's the same thing. You can get on a whole bunch of different digital mode kind of stuff with the phone, but the, gosh darn it. There's a little file you got to download that takes care of the audio. It sucked. It was horrible audio, so I just don't bother using it anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like DroidStar. And it's okay if you're listening, you know, like if you're listening. But, yeah, if you try to talk on it, it doesn't sound good to the other party.
Yeah, you're right. It was DroidStar, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but, like, Brandmeister's got, like, a web... You can go to their website. It's called Hoseline, kind of like fire hose. Hoseline.brandmeister.network, if you can remember that. Hoseline.brandmeister.network. And you can listen to any talk group on Brandmeister without having to tune your radio. So if you, like, you want to leave the radio over here, right... But you want to, like, kind of scan around, you can use your computer and just kind of listen that way.
Yep, I've done that a few times, and I had to go there to Brandmeister. What was it for? Can't remember why I had to do that. But anyway, I used to also, they had some online SDRs, and I used to go to the online SDRs and listen. Of course, they consider it HF because it's the HF bands, but there was no transmitting, but you could listen all over the place. And they got the waterfalls and stuff, and man, I would sit there and play with that for hours, listening to stuff all over the place. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with very little money. You know, you just have to have an internet connection. You can always listen. It's the talking that's the challenging part.
Yeah, I've got a hotspot and a node now. I forgot the name of it. My memory's getting bad. Anyway, it's an elite hotspot. Kind of just does digital, and then I got the clear node that does analog and digital kind of thing. So I can sit out on the porch and have a cigar with my little HT, and the neighbors walk by. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just talking to England. You know what? On that little bitty radio. Yeah, you
gotta
laugh.
Yep. So, all right, the dog is forcing me to go back in. She's yanking me towards the door, so I'm gonna say 73 for now. I'll be listening, though, throughout the evening. So we'll chat with you later. KFADA.
Okay, have a good one, young man. We'll catch you later. KEWOJ.
I think the old city, November 8th, is really mature, yeah, listening.
Hey, BCW, call again. I'm still getting your old one on my screen. This is KC8MXG.
I have an old joint bot.
W8NGT testing. KF8DTK, W8NGT. KF8DTK, W8NGT.
This is
W8NGT. Testing. Looking to see if I'm getting out there. Is anybody out there to make contact?
K8NGT, this is N8BZR. I read you loud and clear. You sound great. Over.
N8BZR, copy that. I appreciate the comeback. I just double-checked, I messed up on my code plug, and I did some corrections, and I want to make sure I was being able to hit the repeater. So I appreciate you coming back, W8NGT.
KC8MXG, testing a hotspot.
K8BCW, Paul, you are coming in loud and clear.
Bradley, it's good to hear your voice. I'm in the midst of pulling my hair out over a hotspot, but I think I got it next. Go ahead.
I feel your pain. I've gone round and round with mine, too, but once you get it dialed in, it's all good.
That's another week I'll be heading up north from. Maybe I can roam with you again.
Yeah, give it a try, and if I'm around, I'll be sure to give you a signal report so you can test what your range is on the repeaters, and I'd be real interested to hear if you can get into the repeater up at the college up there and dial up talk group 31261 and get on this network. That would be pretty cool.
There's some people that were part of the club up there said they were having some problems, and they were vague about whether they were staying online with it. I know they list it as part of it. From my location out in between Calumet and Hancock and Houghton, Hancock, I can't hit them at all. But I'm going to try to with the hotspot. I think that'll give me a better chance. The last time I was right in town, practically within sight of the building, and Houghton, and I got no response. So it.
Yeah, it's probably one of those projects that somebody started and probably a student or someone moved out of town, and now that the thing's having troubles, there's nobody around that knows what to do to fix it. That happens a lot. But yeah, definitely take your hotspot with you and configure it for whatever network you have up there for internet, whether it's your phone or something else, and see how that works.
To interface the hotspot with your cell phone while you were going anywhere roaming? Go ahead.
You know, I've never actually tried that, but I know a lot of guys that do, and it's one of those things on my list to give it a try at some point. My wife and I are going on a little vacation next month down to the Carolinas and Tennessee. And maybe I'll bring it along with me on that trip and see if I can get it to work properly, see how it goes. But, yeah, give it a try if you have a chance. I don't know what hotspot you're running, but, you know, just configure another Wi-Fi network to connect up to your phone or whatever you have at your place up in Hancock and see how it works.
This hotspot is called Boomerang. I bought it from CQ Radios in Bloomfield. Interestingly enough, the guy I spoke to was Simo, and he was a Finn, so I thanked him in Finnish, and I don't know what kind of a Finn he was. He didn't understand me, but next time I'm going to try. This is a K, what is it, the zero, pi zero. Next time I'm going to try to get a faster one and maybe even build one myself.
Yeah, that's what I did. Built my own, and that's the easy part. I've got a Pi 3 Bravo, and I bought a little case for it. Probably would put a fan in the case if I were to do it again, so that's something that you might want to consider. I understand if you go to like a Pi 4 or
later, a fan is definitely required because those units do tend to run pretty hot. But the hardest part was just configuring everything and getting it all set up, which was a little bit fiddly, but yeah, I figured it out.
Which software are you using with your Pi? Right now it came with Pi Star, and I do have a copy of W something or other that I'm tempted, but I'm sitting and trying to learn one thing at a time.
Yeah, I've got an MMDVM hat, which is the radio module that attaches to the Raspberry Pi, and I'm running Pi Star on it. I did look later at the alternative that I can't remember what it's called either, the W whatever it is. And one of the things that they claim is that it's an easier product to use for setup, but I never dug into it. Probably one of those things that YouTube University can school you up on.
Comment. And eat busy.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Paul. Hey, there was another station, I think, trying to break in that might have some insight on what we were just discussing. Go ahead, other station.
No, thank you, Bentley. And I didn't catch the other gentleman's name. I just wanted to share personal, I'm going to say observation. The other software you're talking about for the hotspot is the WPSD, known as WPSD Project, I believe. That software is vastly easier and very feature-rich and lots of information for help available on their website. So if you're just learning PiStar, you might do yourself a favor. It's a lot less frustrating. Trust me. I use it exclusively, and I now have two hotspots, one mobile and one here in the house. And it was so much easier. I've been using it, I'm going to say, probably pushing 2 years now, and I haven't even looked back. That's all I wanted to say. But anyway, you guys sound great, and I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing, but I'll be listening. And that ain't Vincy.
Hey, thanks, Terry, for chiming in. That's good feedback. I hadn't talked to anybody that used that other service, so I'm a little bit torn. I've got mine up running, and it's working great, and I think I know how to tweak it, and do I really want to go back and try something else? At this point, I think the answer is no, but if I were to build another one, yeah, for sure, I'd give it a try. And, Paul, if you're still out there listening, take that for what it's worth. Might be the right path for you to build your hotspot. This is K8BCW in Harbor Springs.
BCW. NHVC, Terry, what was the name of the software that you were talking about?
Oh, the software that you had mentioned, W something, you couldn't remember what it was. It's called WPSD, and I believe it is simply called the WPSD Project. You do a search on the internet, and yeah, it's worth checking out. If you're new to it, just getting started, just their help alone kind of crosses over to PiStar. It's a build off from PiStar originally, if I understand it right, but the guy has got has just got a lot of things done into it that just was much easier to understand and set up, and their, you know, help stuff that they do is pretty easy to follow along with and all that good stuff. And I really, when I was doing my first hotspot, and said I wanted to build my own and whatnot, and I just found it so much easier to understand and get along with. So that's, I went to it and I haven't looked back since. And it's trying to, let's see. I would say just type in WPSD project. I think that will come up. Yeah, WPSD project. There you go.
One more question. The hotspots that you built, what size Raspberry are they using? The one that I bought pre-built has a Raspberry Pi 0 point something or other. And I just wondered, I mean, that's the smallest I think they have. And I've heard Pi 3, I think, is the one people should be getting. Go ahead.
Well, a few hands that I know that have built their own, like me, I use the Pi 3D Plus. Yeah, Pi 3D Plus is what it was referred to as. And it has the Wi-Fi built into it, and I don't know, past that. I don't have any real overheating issues. So both my hotspots for the one mobile and one here in the house. The mobile is a simplex board, and then the one here in the house, I have a duplex board on it and a little 3.5-inch Nexian screen with it as well. So that one's a lot fancier than the mobile one, but they both are running that 3D Plus board. And then if you do the Pi Zero, you want to make sure you do the, and I just learned this one the hard way myself, the Pi Zero 2W, I believe it is. That's the one that's compatible with cell phones and has Wi-Fi built in. So that way you don't have to, like, be hardwired to the internet or anything. Hope that helps. Otherwise, this is NHZC.
Every bit of that information. Thank you so much, Gary. This is KC8MXG, clear with NHCC.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And I usually listen to this one quite a bit because I'm real close to the Bancroft machine for the MI5 group. And so I usually like to listen to this one. So if you have any questions, I can try to help. Not that I'm any expert by any means, but I've only, been messing with it for a couple of years now. Actually, probably 2 years, like I said, with the WPSD stuff. So, but you know how time flies, so I may forget, maybe longer, who knows. That's what happens when you're retired and get bored in the wintertime. Anyway, I'm out of here. Thanks, guys. Have a good evening. Be safe. And NHZC.
KE8RUH. KE8RUH. This is N6WY, November 6th, Whiskey Yankee.
How's it going this evening?
Right, we just had a little rain here. I'm in Shelby Township, and the rain looks like it's cleared out. And I thought I'd take a break, see what's on the radio. And heard you call, and I thought I'd answer you, see what's going on in your neck of the woods.
I'm down here in Gross Point Woods, and we just had probably a similar rain, I don't want to call it a storm, but rain clouds that moved through. It seems to have slowed down or stopped. So I'm just out grabbing some gas in my wife's car right now because I got in it and it was empty. So I am just out and about, headed home now, and we'll see what happens the rest of the evening.
Well, you're hitting the system very well. That sounds good. I'm going through the Mount Clemens repeater. I'm using a little 890 Inetone, which I'm having trouble with, but it seems to work well on this system. I get good reports, and nobody's complaining about my audio or being off frequency or anything like that. So I wonder what you're using.
Yeah, you sound great. I am using a Motorola 7550 right now, I have been, until today, I have been using a Anytone 878, but picked this up today and seems to be working really well.
Well, I have to admit, the Motorola products sound better on this system than most other handy talkies. In fact, I would say all of them, all other brands. I guess it's probably the Motorola repeater equipment at the repeater site that makes them sound so good. But it's very rock solid, and the audio is excellent.
Yeah, I'm going through the Detroit repeater, and I am always amazed on how good the footprint is on this system. You know, I can pretty well hit the Detroit or Mount Clemens repeater with a HT from my house and in my neighborhood, and that is absolutely impressive. I struggle to get into anything other than GMR with an HT in my neck of the woods. So I'm so glad this system is here.
I am too. I'm a member of a couple of clubs, and both of them got good repeater systems for my area, C4 FM and just plain old FM, 2 meters and 440. The 440s are C4 FM. But I can't get anybody interested in DMR. And DMR is my favorite of the digital modes for VHF, UHF. And I guess, I don't know, maybe Yaesu came in with a timing just right for the clubs and offered them a good deal on the repeaters, which they were, very good deals. And the clubs took advantage of them.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to make your equipment and your system put in place, is to get good deals. And then you have the reoccurring purchases of the radios as a ongoing revenue generator. That's a good plan.
Yes, it is. I keep waiting for maybe a low-cost Anytone type repeater come out. I guess the repeater's not as expensive as all the other equipment you need to go with it, the diplexers and our duplexers and whatever else you need, the antenna, the coax, and you have to have a location, of course. So there's a lot of things that stops a club splitting up a good repeater system.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the work that goes into and the money, financial commitment that goes into getting a repeater up and online and staying that way. All right, I made it home. I will talk to you again soon. This is K8RUH.
Yeah, K8RUH, I was talking to myself. My finger fell off the push to talk. So, okay, 73s. I need to get back to what I'm doing, too. Talk to you later. This is 6WY.
All right, have a great evening.